Just one announcement today. On September 10th, Saturday, September 10th, we're having an all-church barbecue, and we're going to have pulled pork and smoked brisket made by Douglas Cortina and Chris Combs, and who are remarkable chefs. And we're going to have fun. We're going to have a ton of food, and we're going to have games for everybody to participate in. And you can just watch if you want to. But it's going to be a really fun time. And you need to sign up today. There's a sign up over here at the information table as you go out. And next Sunday will be the last Sunday to sign up. We just want to get a count how many people are going to be there so we know how much food to prepare. So please come and sign up and bring a friend. We want this to be an outreach event for our church, and so invite a friend to come along and meet our church family. Turn to Psalm 26. We're continuing our summer in the Psalms. And today we come to Psalm 26. And as I told you, by the way, Charla and I weren't here last week. We had a fantastic visit with our grandson, who is, he ought to be a model. And he's a genius. He's remarkable. Now, I know all of your grandkids are remarkable. He's our one and only and our first. So anyway, we had a really good time last week. And thank you for... thank you for tolerating my absence. We're continuing our summer in the Psalms, as I said. Today, Psalm 26. And as I told you 2 weeks ago, I'm just preaching through the Psalms that I haven't preached on yet. Today we come to 26. Hear now the word of God, a psalm of David. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling of all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not sweep my soul away with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are evil devices and whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, your Son Jesus said, "Your word is truth." Open our hearts now and our minds by your Holy Spirit, and write your word within us so that we might be transformed to be more like Jesus, your living word, in whose name we pray. Amen. Psalm 26 is a psalm of David, and it begins, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering." Really? Who can say that? Could David say that? David, who committed adultery with Bathsheba. David, who arranged for Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, to be killed in battle so that he could have Bathsheba all to himself. Who can say that? The Bible says all have sinned. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Who can stand before God and say, "Vindicate me"? Well, as you know, in the Bible, in any literature, context is everything. What if David is writing this psalm when he has been falsely accused? Vindicate me. Now that makes more sense, doesn't it? If he's been falsely accused, there have been rumors going around about him, and malicious gossip about him, false gossip. David is the king of Israel, and anybody in any prominent public position is a big target, right? Pastors are targets. Sometimes pastors get criticized fairly and sometimes unfairly. And it just goes with the territory. Stuart Briscoe. I would imagine, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I would imagine that many people know that name. Prominent pastor, author of many books. Stuart Briscoe died and went to heaven on August 3rd, the beginning of this month. He was 91 years old. Anyway, Stuart Briscoe once said, "A good pastor has the mind of a scholar, the heart of a child, and the hide of a rhinoceros." And those in governing authority are even bigger targets, right? We love, in fact, all of us have a hobby of criticizing politicians, don't we? We have fun doing it. Lyndon Johnson, President Johnson, was once asked, how did he endure all of the criticism that goes along with being president? And he said, well, it's like a jackass in a hailstorm. You just stand there and take it. David was a big target. He's the king of Israel. Sometimes fairly, sometimes unfairly. And for him to cry out to God, vindicate me, it might be an honest, heartfelt cry for vindication from unfair accusation. Look at verses 4 and 5 and consider, is this a response to accusation? Verse 4, I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. Verse 5, I hate the assembly of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. What if David has been accused of consorting with bad company? What if David has been accused of having advisors and lieutenants around him who are corrupt? There's some evidence, contextual evidence, that people might accuse David of that. Before David became king, when he was on the run from Saul, King Saul, he took shelter, he hid in the cave of Adullam. And 1 Samuel chapter 22 says this about King David in the cave of Adullam. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to David, and he became their leader. Now that's a motley crew, isn't it? Everyone who was distressed, the debtors and the discontented, and they became David's inner circle. Now, this is speculation on my part. But what if people are saying David has surrounded himself with corruption? David has surrounded himself with unreliable people and sinners. Now, another piece of context. David knew that he was a sinner. In Psalm 51, he says, I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, Lord, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Purge me with hyssop. Now, a branch of hyssop is a branch of a bush that grows in the Near East, and it's kind of fuzzy. And they used it to dip in water and for ritual cleansing with, like we do, sprinkling with baptism. And they would dip the hyssop in water and shake it on somebody as a symbol of cleansing from sin. Purge me with hyssop, said David, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And in Psalm 26, he indicates that he's relying on God's forgiveness and grace. Look at verse 3. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. Not my faithfulness, says David. I walk in your faithfulness. In other words, David is not relying on his goodness. He's relying on the goodness of God and the grace of God and the forgiveness of God and the love of God. Many of the Psalms have a double meaning. And we've talked about this before. Both Doug and I have talked about this. Many of the Psalms have a double meaning. They have a contextual meaning that we discern by the context in which they are written. And maybe David is defending himself here against unfair accusation. But many Psalms also have a prophetic meaning. They're talking about the future and about someone else. Who can say, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering"? Who can say, "Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind"? Who can say that? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Contextually, this psalm is about David. But prophetically, it's about Jesus Christ. Who can say, verse 6, "I wash my hands in innocence"? Jesus. Only Jesus. The only Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man, is the only person in history who can, with open heart and sincerity, say, "Vindicate me, O God, for I have walked in my integrity." But here's the astounding surprise of the good news of Jesus Christ. You and I can dare to say that too. You and I not only can dare to say it, we can say it with boldness and conviction. Because we who have placed our faith in Jesus are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I am clothed in Christ's righteousness, and therefore I stand righteous before God. Innocent. Isn't that awesome? Now, let me unpack this a little bit more. We are all failures before God, and the sooner you own that, the better. Don't run from it. Don't hide from it. You're a failure before God. I'm a failure before God. Own it. and it will be good for you. There is not a day in our lives that we walk consistently with integrity before God. It might be an unkind word, an ugly thought, an ungodly desire. Maybe it's a moment of selfish envy or surrender to greed. Maybe it's a moment of pride or lust or gluttony. Maybe our hearts are cold to the poor. Maybe our sympathy toward those who suffer is lacking. Maybe we give our hearts away to some idol. Whatever it is, we do it every day. No human being except Jesus walks through this world with integrity. We sin and fall short of the glory of God. We fail to be what He has called us to be. Now, confronted with your sin, and if you're humble and honest, you'll just own it. Confronted with your sin, we have three choices. First of all, you can deny the evidence and convince yourself that you're really a righteous person, and that you're really okay, even when you're not okay. I know that some of you here will remember back in the 1970s, when I was in college, there was a book that came out. It was widely read. It became very famous. I'm Okay, You're Okay. And some people called it, I'm okay, you're not. No, we're not okay. But your first choice, you can live with that delusion. And we particularly live with this delusion when we justify ourselves by comparing ourselves to others. You can always find somebody lower than you on the moral totem pole, right? Yeah. And you compare yourself to them and say, I'm pretty good. Do you know what you are when you do that? You're a Pharisee. The fatal fault of the Pharisee. I like that. That's called alliteration. The fatal fault of the Pharisee is comparison. Remember, Jesus told a story about a Pharisee and a tax collector who went to the temple on the same day. And they're both standing in the temple. And the Pharisee says, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, particularly not like this tax collector over here. You see, comparison. And the tax collector, Jesus said, would not even lift his face And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, that man went down to his house justified. So, if you want to count yourself righteous by comparison, good luck with that. There's a second option. In the face of your failure, you can wallow in guilt and shame. You can beat yourself up that you did not do better. You can say over and over again in your heart and mind, I hate myself. I'm a failure. I am unworthy. And you can just keep bathing in that muck and mire. Oh, and you'll work really hard to hide your failure from God and others. I did that for a long time. If you want to take that route, good luck. And there's a third option, and this is the gospel choice. In your brokenness and grief, you can run not away from God, but to Him. You can run into the light of His holy presence. You can run to Him completely unafraid. Run to your Heavenly Father. Well, I should qualify that. You take one step toward Him and He'll run to you. Remember the story that Jesus told. We call it the prodigal son. The son rebelled against his father, demanded his inheritance, went off to a far country, squandered the inheritance in a life of sin, finally came to his senses, said Jesus, and he started toward home, and he was rehearsing. He had written a speech that he was going to give to his father. And he was rehearsing it on the way home. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Take me back as one of your hired hands. And I'll work my way back into your favor. Remember what happened? The father saw him coming at a distance, and the father ran to him, ran to his son. And the son tried to give the speech, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, no longer worthy to be called your son. The father cut him off. Bring the robe and ring. Put my robe on him. Put the family signet ring on his finger. My son has come home. Kill the fatted calf. Get the prime rib roast out of the freezer. We're going to have a party because my son has come home. Be filled with confidence that God is righteous, you are not, but He will not turn away from you. You can do this because our standing with God has never been based on our performance. It is based on the righteousness of Christ, who has clothed us in his righteousness and counted us as righteous, and therefore we are accepted into his holy presence forever. Vindicate me, O God, for Christ has walked in his integrity, and I am hidden in his righteousness. I am clothed in his righteousness. Now, we are called to follow Jesus and to live a holy life. But here's the good news. Your way of living has not been and never will be the basis of your standing with God. You can bow at your Savior's feet and confess your sins, knowing that you will not receive punishment, but you will receive grace, because Jesus, the righteous Son of God, bore the full brunt of our penalty on the cross and shed his blood to cleanse us of sin. Ephesians 3:12 that Diane read a few minutes ago says that in Jesus Christ, through faith in him, we have boldness and access with confidence. Boldness and access with confidence. We don't need to crawl to one another, and we don't need to crawl to God. He will run to embrace us. So, when you fail again today, there's no if. When you fail again today, who will you run to? Vindicate me, O God, for Christ has walked in his integrity, and I am hidden in him. Amen. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. God, we thank you. We can't thank you enough for the sacrifice of your Son Jesus in our place, so that we can stand before you with boldness and confidence. We have access to you. O Lord, we thank you for forgiving our sin, for delivering us from captivity to sin. Pour out your Holy Spirit on every person in this room and every person listening over the live stream. Pour out your Holy Spirit that we may live lives of service to Christ and holiness before you. And when we fail, to run to you and know your assurance, your grace, and your love. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.